You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Jets podcast, Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. This is your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. The big news breaking overnight, Le'Veon Bell, the star running back formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has decided to sign with the New York Jets. It's a four-year deal worth $52 million. There was a rumor last night that Bell was going to break it as he dropped his album, I guess, his rap album. I guess he posted stuff online. Adam Schefter is actually the guy who broke it. The contract has a maximum value of $61 million, $35 million guaranteed. And up to that point, when we found out the Jets were going to sign Bell, and I guess it actually happened Wednesday, up to that point, the Jets had about as awful of a day in free agency as I've ever seen a team have. So news that will bring some much-needed positivity, a little optimism to the fan base. A move that I think was always kind of the most likely scenario, the obvious one, if for no other reason than it doesn't really seem like any other team was bidding on Le'Veon Bell. So, you know, for all the praise I'm seeing Mike Maccagnan get on Twitter, it's like, is it really that, I mean, is it really a mark of great general manager work that you signed a guy that nobody else was interested in? The Jets, I think in an ideal world, you know, I've talked extensively on this topic, you would not want to have to sign Bell, because this is a move that brings with it some degree of risk when we're talking about the way investing big in running backs sometimes doesn't pay off. Investing in running backs is a risky venture, especially when you're investing big at the position. You talk about the potential for decline. You talk about Bell's history of suspensions, his workload, which has been pretty big through the years, there are various reasons this is risky, not least of which the guy sat out a year. We don't know how that's going to impact him. There's not much precedent for a running back sitting back a year and coming back. Is he going to come back? Is it going to help him? Will he come back fresh after, you know, a year of not taking any hits, or will he maybe shy away from hits? How is this guy going to respond to getting the big payday? You know, this guy has certainly bring some baggage with him, and I think that's a reason the Jets may have. It kind of sounds like the Jets were the only team that were really interested in him. I think he does come with question marks, but the Jets essentially put themselves in a position where they had to sign Bell prior to this move. If they did not have the worst offensive personnel in the league, it was close, and the team needed a big time player, and there really was no other mechanism by which the team could acquire a big time player. So on paper, If this works, it's going to be really good. This is a boom or bust move, I think, for the Jets, because if it's a boom move, it certainly helps the Jets. It certainly moves the needle quite a bit in the positive direction. It certainly would be a big impact move. We've seen through the league the impact a do-it-all running back can have on a young quarterback. And Bell is a do-it-all running back. He'll stay on the field three downs. I mean, part of it is that Adam Gase seems to really prefer a running back who stays on the field for three downs. He's going to get a ton of carries. I mean, this offense, I would expect, will be run through him. He's about as good of a receiving back as there is in the league, a smart, savvy route runner, guy who, you know, I think, I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not saying you would ever do it, but hypothetically, if you gave him a full offseason of work, a full training camp, I think probably could be a full-time slot receiver. I think he's got that degree of skill in his game. So, you know, a move that certainly, I think, was a move that the Jets had to make. I think you were in a situation where there was no other way the Jets were going to be able to acquire an elite running back. So they take the big swing in free agency, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, sometimes these moves work out very well. Other times they don't. Part of it has to do with the player motivation. Is this player going to be motivated after he gets the big payday? I think that was a concern the Steelers and a lot of other teams had. And you know, if you read through some of the media reports in the weeks leading up to this move, it seems like that was a concern the Jets had as well. But they were in a situation where they didn't really have much of an alternative. And, you know, this is the type of player who, if he performs up to expectations, really does change the whole offense. It forces the defense to change its approach to handling the Jets. He'll help Sam Darnold tremendously. The Jets will use him a lot. I think the Jets will hand the ball to him a lot, which will make things easier on the receivers. It'll help simplify the coverage. Putting him out wide is something that can kind of help indicate the coverage. It'll help Sam Darnold pre-snap operate. So, plenty of ways this will help. It's a move with a lot of potential pros. It could really move the needle quite a bit in the positive direction. And nobody wants to hear about the potential ways this may not work out, but I mean, they certainly exist. Look, there certainly were reasons the Jets were the only team that made a big play for Bell here. But a move that brings at least some needed degree of positivity to this fan base, because as I said, in the lead up to this signing, this was about as awful of a day as I've seen a team have in free agency in some time, where it just seemed like nothing could go right for the Jets. Jets were missing out on players, players who could have helped them. The team was, in some instances, it sounds like the Jets did not even make offers to players who were very logical fits. They lost a free agent who they thought they already had in the bag. They made a couple other moves that I thought were kind of questionable. But we'll talk about all of those going ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast. This edition where the Jets have agreed to terms with the star Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell. Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, March 13th. The big news, Jets sign Le'Veon Bell. The running back announces he's coming to the Jets. I guess the report breaks that he's coming to the Jets overnight. It's really funny because of how antsy people were getting about Bell making his decision. People talking about, why is it taking Bell forever? You know, free agency doesn't even really officially open until today. But even then, I mean, the legal tampering period, that period's been open for less than 2 days when the news broke that Bell was signing with the Jets. It just shows you the impatience and maybe a little bit the society we live in. It's just kind of funny, the idea that Bell was taking forever. What's taking so long? And it's 2 days. It's less than 2 days. And one of the things that I kind of laugh at is the impatience sometimes when we talk about free agency, a player making his decision, because you have to remember that these guys are deciding. I mean, this is a major life decision, a major career decision. A lot of guys only get one, and Bell's probably a guy who's only going to get one big payday. So the question is, where do I want to play? Where am I going to move? Where am I going to uproot my life to? I can understand why you might want to take a day or two to think that over. And I guess in Bell's case, he was kind of waiting to see if another team jumped in, which did not happen. So now he's a Jet. In other news, Jets re-signing Henry Anderson. Anderson getting a deal that's around $8 million or so a year, coming off a solid year for him. Of course, he had the big game against Houston, a career high in sacks, big game against Houston, 3 sacks, week 15. And, I mean, my only thoughts on that were the Jets needed to sign a defensive lineman, and they probably still need to sign another defensive lineman. I mean, one of the things that's nice about Bell is that it fills a huge need, what I think was a need in terms of just a playmaker on offense. The Jets were desperately in need of a playmaker on offense, a go-to guy on offense, but they still have a lot of other needs out there. Defensive line, I mean, you started the day yesterday. Leonard Williams is the only starting caliber defensive lineman, a proven starting caliber defensive lineman on the roster. So the Jets had to sign a defensive lineman somewhere. So they bring back a guy, Anderson, who clearly they like, a guy who had a solid year last year. For whatever reason, there was this perception Greg Williams wasn't going to be able to use him in his defense, which never really made a whole lot of sense to me, because why wouldn't Greg Williams be able to figure out how to use... Greg Williams is a guy who's been in the NFL a long time. I'm sure he could figure out how to use a guy like Henry Anderson. I'm sure he could figure out pretty much any guy with talent. I'm sure Greg Williams knows how to utilize his skill sets. A move that the Jets had to... And the Jets probably still need another defensive lineman. Again, I mean, I don't know... Well, I mean, unless Nathan Shepard's ready to step into a starting role. And I mean, the thing is, you look at the Jets right now, Jets still have an awful lot of needs. You don't realize how many needs the Jets have until you actually think this through. This is a defense that still has a lot of holes to fill. I mean, this defense right now has zero corners that I trust. They need to get a pass rusher, and they need another defensive line. So, I mean, the premium positions, the real meat and potato positions in this league, Jets need a lot of help at. So Anderson will help a little. Anderson will help that, at least move them one player closer to building this defense up. And they're one player closer than they're one player further away than they were at the start of yesterday, because the Jets incredibly lost Anthony Barr. Barr, apparently, the report is that he was physically sick at the idea of coming to the Jets after he agreed to terms. After he heard the report, he was physically sick, which, you know, Bell certainly helps things. That certainly was not the greatest look in the world for the Jets. The fact that a guy was physically sick at the idea of taking $14 million from the Jets. And, you know, it's funny, during the day yesterday, people were pointing out to me about I was talking about how intrigued I was at the idea of Anthony Barr coming to the Jets. I made a comment that Barr wanted to come to the Jets. Well, oops. So Barr's returning to Minnesota. He takes a small. It's not a small discount, but I'm sorry. It's not a big discount. It's a relatively small discount, but a discount nonetheless. I guess he really wanted to stay in Minnesota. So Jets. I still think the Jets were going to need to address the pass rush anyway. But this was a guy who, you know, I could have gone either way on that signing, because I wasn't really sure how it was going to work, what role the Jets were going to have for him. I think that was kind of up in the air, but it was a guy who could have really helped the Jets, I think. And I think missing out on him, there were some things about that signing that made me happy. There were some things about that signing that made me skeptical. And I guess I'm kind of in the same boat. Part of me maybe wonders whether the Jets were going to be able to justify that salary. Another part of me was wondering, was thinking, well, maybe this guy could be really valuable for the Jets. I mean, you look at his skill. He's certainly a skilled guy, certainly a good track record in the league. Maybe he can help the team out. So, again, mixed feelings. I had kind of mixed feelings about the signing. I have kind of mixed feelings about leaving him. I mean, my one thing I will say is, this is something I never thought. I'd been talking about how stupid the legal tampering period is in the NFL. But I did not even consider this, which I probably should have considered, because if you follow the NBA, you may remember the saga of DeAndre Jordan a few years ago with the Dallas Mavericks. The NBA has something kind of similar where you can talk to teams, you can agree to terms with teams, or it did at the time, but you couldn't sign a contract until 2 weeks after the start of free agency, which essentially meant that a player could agree to terms with the team and then change his mind. And so what happened with the Jets? The Jets were pretty much frozen. The Jets essentially had that money frozen during the period they thought they were getting Barr. That was a time where if Barr had turned them down, they could have gone out and addressed other needs in different ways. But because they thought they were having Barr, other players went off the board, because the Jets were thinking, well, we don't need anybody else at this position. We don't need anybody else in this role. These were guys they may have been interested in if they had not gotten Barr. So, you know, just kind of a silly thing. And just, you know, look, you have the right to play where you want as a free agent, but I got to be honest, that's no good. You know something? The Jets have a right to be upset when a guy lies to them. And let's be honest, Anthony Barr lied to the Jets. And you know something? I'm sorry that, you know, you had second thoughts. I'm sorry that you got cold feet, but nobody forced you to make a commitment to the Jets. Nobody forced you. I usually take this player's side in contract issues, but nobody forced Anthony Barr to agree to terms. If he had concerns, if he wasn't 100% committed to the Jets, he should not have agreed to the Jets. He should have asked for more time. If the Jets move on, the Jets move on. You can't just hold the Jets. You can't just force the Jets to hold that money in place while you work through your issues. That is, and you know something, Jets, Anthony, the Vikings don't come to MetLife Stadium to play the Jets for another 8 years, which is too bad. But you know something, I think I have a new least favorite team in the NFC, because Anthony Barr is a guy who deserves to lose every time he plays. I mean, that guy deserves nothing good to happen for him for the rest of his career. I will openly root for this guy to be a bust for Minnesota because of this nonsense that he pulled on the Jets yesterday. Just utter garbage from Anthony Barr. Now I'm getting really fired up. I'm getting myself. I think I started out really calm, and then The more I talked, the more I got myself riled up. But anyway, Jets lose out on Anthony Barr. Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday is the Jets. The big news, the Jets sign Le'Veon Bell, or will sign Le'Veon Bell. There's no, I don't think the deal's been officially, the deal cannot be officially signed yet. We were recapping a Tuesday in free agency, which was not going so well prior to the point the Jets signed Bell. And for me, the biggest reason that it was not going so well is that the Jets lost out on Matt Paradis. And this is one, you know, the most of the attention I think today will be on Bell. But this was a big, I think this was a big loss for the Jets. And you know something, here's what I'll say. Woe to the general manager who does not protect his young quarterback. Woe to the general manager who does not invest in the offensive line. And woe to Mike Maccagnan for whiffing on the center market this year in free agency. I think this is the type of thing that potentially reduces the value of the addition of Bell, because, you know, running backs rely on the offensive line quite a bit. But I just can't wrap my head around this, is how a team like the Jets have as glaring of a need at the center position in the league as any team. They enter free agency with the second most cap space in the league. And not only do they enter free agency with the second most cap space in the league, the team with the most cap space, the Indianapolis Colts, does not need a center. So the Jets have more money than any team that needs a center in the league. And there are two premium centers in free agency this year. There's Morse and there's Paradis. It boggles my mind how the Jets could leave free agency without one of those two key guys. It just makes no sense. This is a really, I mean, you can, if you watch the Jets the last 2 years, you know that this center position has contributed as much as anything to this offense not being able to function. I mean, there are other issues, but that's at the top of the list. It's not just about Spencer Long not being able to execute shotgun snaps. I mean, you can't block at center. There's essentially a free pathway to the ball in the middle of the defense. That's a big problem. So what's the plan now? I mean, are the Jets have kind of taken destiny out of their own hands. Jets don't really control their own destiny at the center position anymore, which is a shame, because they were in a position to control their own destiny. And you know something? Mike Maccagnan, once again, really confusing plan on the offensive line, because there was a report yesterday from Ian Rappaport, which was just about the strangest report, which the Jets were not really in on Paradis, and maybe it had something to do with their pursuit of Bell, which, I mean, why couldn't you get both? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And now the Jets, I mean, they have to hope that something materializes in the trade market, or they have to hope that they get a guy in the draft. And you never want to go into the draft desperately needing a position. That's where you make mistakes. Second of all, you don't know that there's going to be a guy available to you. You don't know that there's going to be a guy available to you in a spot where it makes sense. You'd rather go into the draft where you could draft a guy, you know, maybe play him at guard for a couple of years, and approach it that way. Maybe you get lucky. Maybe need matches up with where you're drafting. That's what you need to do. You can't do this. So. My mind is boggled by the way the Jets have handled this. This is bad. You know, as much as the focus today will be on Bell, the Jets have a lot of other needs right now, and this is a really bad one. I can't figure out how they missed at the center position this year. I think that this is one that they may come back to regret if they cannot. Essentially, they need to kind of get lucky now, because they had a chance to control their own destiny at the center position with their resources, and they failed to do it. There's no other way to put it. This is just an utter whiff. Woe to you, Mike Maccagnan. Woe to you. Woe to the general manager who does not protect his young quarterback. This is not just a matter of being able to execute a shotgun snap. It's not just having a guy who can. You need a guy who can block there. You need a guy who can help call out the protections. You need a guy who is skilled at center. This is a move that, as much as Bell helps, this failure to act at center in free agency might hurt just as much. And, you know, finally, I wait on publishing these shows about as long as I can on days like this, you know, when we're in the middle of free agency. And the reason I do that is because news can break late. So, you know, I try and order my segments in an orderly way, so that way I can record something new and drop an audio file in at some point. I waited about as long as I could yesterday. And, of course, right after I published the show, I see that the Jets have signed CJ Mosley. And it is a monster contract. It is the Jets gave C.J. Mosley a tremendously large contract. The deal is a 5-year deal. The money is $85 million, $51 million guaranteed. And, you know, I think that the perception from this deal is a little different from the reality. Because I think the first thing you see is, wow, the Jets got C.J. Mosley. He's a good player. You get excited because you see the Jets got a good player. But you look at that money. You know, it's not so much that it's an overpay. I mean, it's definitely an overpay. $17 million a year for C.J. Mosley. You look at what other guys at the position are getting. That's a lot of money. You look at how good C.J. Mosley is, a good linebacker. It's not like he's Luke Kuechly. You know, it's not like he's the greatest off ball. It's not even like he's close to Luke Kuechly. He's a very good run stopper. He's not a huge. He's not a liability in coverage, but he's not great. It's not even so much though that it's an overpay. I mean, I think when you're in the position the Jets are, where you have no players, you kind of put yourself in a position where you have to try and build through free agency, which in its nature, especially, you know, the first couple of days of free agency, it's a very inefficient venture. It's a very inefficient way to build your football team. So you're going to end up with deals that, you know, are very risky, deals that, you know, may not look so great on paper. The issue with this is more just priorities, though. I mean, when you're a team with the Jets, like the Jets who have nothing, this is about the last place you should be investing big money. Because, first of all, it's a skill that's very replaceable. It's about the, you know, easiest place to find a guy is, one of the easiest place to find a guy is off-ball, a run-stopping off-ball linebacker. Second of all, it doesn't really move the needle for your team. It doesn't really, I mean, is the difference between a guy who's a great run-stopping linebacker and a guy who's just an okay run-stopping linebacker, how much better does that make your team? Not all that much. When you're lacking, when you have zero corners, zero quality corners right now. I mean, unless you're talking about Trumaine Johnson, who was awful last year, you have zero. Right now, Daryl Roberts is penciled in as a starter. Daryl Roberts shouldn't even be on this team next year. He could be a starter. You have issues on the defensive line. You have issues at pass rusher. You know, you have zero quality pass rushers on this team right now. Offensive line, we already talked about the center position, but I mean, the rest of the offensive line, outside of left guard, rest of the offensive line could use some work. You could still use another receiver. I mean, there are so many areas the Jets need help. You can't invest would I take C.J. Mosley? Sure. But you can't invest $17 million at this linebacker position when you have this many other needs, when you have this many other issues on your roster. You just cannot do that. That's the problem's not with the player they signed. It's with the contract. I mean, and this is a crazy. I mean, this $51 million guaranteed. This was a situation where, for whatever reason, the Jets became fixed. Sometimes you got to know, sometimes negotiate, and this has been an issue with Mike Maccagnan as well. Sometimes as a negotiator, you need to know when to walk away from the table. You need to say this, and for whatever reason, Mosley clearly did not want to come to the Jets. So I think back to something, there was a great hockey player, Bobby Hull, decades ago. And there was a new league to rival the National Hockey League that was starting up. It's called the World Hockey Association, and they wanted Bobby Hull. I remember Bobby Hull I saw some interview with him, and he made some comment about how he really did not want to go to the World Hockey Association. So the World Hockey Association asked him, well, how much money would it take you to get you to play for us? And he said, $1 million a year. $1 million. And back then, that was a crazy amount of money. For a hockey player, not so much now, but back then it was an enormous sum. And the reason he said it was because he said that was such a crazy demand that I didn't want to play for them. That was such a crazy demand, I knew they wouldn't meet it. And that's almost what this contract looks like, where it was pretty obvious Mosley, and this is from reports, that Mosley wanted to stay in Baltimore. And he probably would have taken less. So it's almost like the Jets asked, well, what will it take you to sign? And Mosley's like, all right, well, 5 years, $85 million, 51 guaranteed. They'll never do that. That way I can stay in Baltimore. And then the Jets matched it. And there has to be a point where you prioritize these things. If you're going to give out a deal for crazy money and you're the Jets, you have to, you could do it at edge rusher. Okay, that could change the defense. You could do it on the offense. You certainly should do it on the offensive line. Because you certainly should protect your young quarterback. That should be your investment. And woe to the general manager who does not. Woe to the general manager who just whiffs, who just doesn't care about good free agent centers when he needs one. Woe to him. If you do it for a playmaker, fine, to help your young quarterback. Why are you doing this? This position is not... We talk sometimes about how positional value can be overrated, but it does not make it irrelevant. And the issue with this Mosley signing, that's the issue, is that this is the wrong place to be investing that sum of money, because the Jets have so many other, even with Bell, and I think, you know, I don't want to rain on everybody's parade after the Jets signed Bell, but Le'Veon Bell alone does not fix all the problems. Le'Veon Bell can help the Jets. He might help the Jets quite a bit, but this is still a team with a lot of issues on the roster, a lot of needs to fill, and sinking $17 million a year into the linebacker position is going to prevent them from addressing some of those needs that are much bigger than linebacker. Anyway, sorry to end the show on such a negative note on a day I'm sure you're very excited. But of course, the Jets do have Le'Veon Bell. They're the best player on offense, certainly on this roster. So, you know, there's potentially a very big upgrade, potentially a guy who can help Sam quite a bit. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow as the off-season continues.